Detsana, on the 21st of August, 1979. There can be no progress, real progress, either in the society or the sasana, if there is no Dhamma. But when there is Dhamma, then there will be peace and happiness. For Dhamma is sacrifice, the seeing of other people as being equal, and seeing that we are all human beings. In all respects, we are equal in the sense that we are all human beings. Then we will have a heart and consideration for other people. We will have loving kindness and compassion for our fellow human beings if we have Dhamma. But if we don't have any Dhamma, we will always put ourselves above everything else and above all other people. Although we are really bad, we simply imagine that we are great, that we are good, and we are immersed within that delusion. That is why Dhamma is so vital. When Dhamma is found within a person, a society, or a country, then there is coolness, and in any place where there is trouble and confusion, then in such a place there is no Dhamma. When a place is entirely worldly, then that place will be totally consumed by fire. The Lord Buddha and all loved the sages of the present and the past never spoke praise or good of the kilesas, tanha, and asava, or of greed, hatred, and delusion, as something good. When these things appear, they can only incite and disturb the heart, and subject it to hardship and affliction, and put it in a constant state of restlessness and agitation. Nothing good can be found from these things. Who can be wiser than any of the Buddhas? Each Buddha propagated the same kind of teaching. They praised the things which should be praised, and they censured the things that should be censured. They taught people to let go of the things that should be let go of, and to develop the things that should be developed. This is for the purpose of instilling happiness, ease, and comfort, and propriety within the heart, so that one may live in the world peacefully. And even if one hasn't got rid of all of these things, one should be able to go through life without much difficulty. But if one can totally eliminate and extinguish these things, then one will become a supreme or a noble person, because such a one now would have nothing to disturb his heart. And what are the disturbances of the heart, if not the kilesas? These are all the different kinds of kilesas that branch out from the main root, which is avijja, tanha. Any behavior which is being influenced by the various kinds of the kilesas can only produce trouble and hardship. Such is the way of the kilesas. They are troublesome. But when Dhamma manifests itself, then it is cool within the heart. And when Dhamma is manifested externally, it is also cool. It is pleasing to the eyes and ears, because that particular person has the Dhamma, which is cool-heartedness within his heart. Therefore, Dhamma is most important. It is the thing that one can put one's trust in, both in the way of the world and Dhamma, both in the present and in the future. Nothing else can surpass this Dhamma, which is the truth. It is the nature that cannot be wiped out, and it has always existed since time immemorial. But there are wise people and foolish people, and that is the reason why Dhamma only appears from time to time. In speaking about the birth or appearance of Dhamma, of the Sasana, and of the Lord Buddha, this refers to the attainment to enlightenment of the Lord Buddha through his own efforts in investigation and research into the truth. And having discovered the Dhamma of truth, he then propagated and dispensed it to the world. This teaching then gradually fades away due to the strong influence of the kilesas, tanha, and asava, which encompass the hearts of sentient beings. So they totally forget about sila and dhamma. And when they have forgotten about that, then the kilesas can do anything they please. Therefore, sentient beings cannot come up with any real happiness, for they can only afflict each other with hardship and trouble. And that is the way of the world. Now let's talk about ourselves. At any time when our heart is in a good state, it is peaceful and calm, and wise and discerning. Then at that time, regardless of where we may be, we will always be cool-hearted. This is due to the protection of Dhamma. Whenever we are off guard or do any kind of work that can disturb or destroy the practice of our citta bhavana, like being involved in the various building and construction work, and then worrying ourselves over these things, this is the time when the citta begins to accumulate all the unwholesomeness, trouble and commotion. For this reason, the Lord Buddha therefore prohibited and advised that anything that was detrimental to the practice of citta bhavana should be something to be very careful of. For instance, the Lord said that for a beginning practitioner, one who hasn't established any basis, he should avoid certain places, like a monastery that was under construction or renovation. Don't be inclined to build this and build that. Don't live in a place where people mingle and socialize. One should always seek for seclusion and quietude, where it is peaceful and calm. One must consider one's undertaking, that is, the work of citta bhavana, as the most important and essential work of one's life. Making it one's life work and doing it in all of one's postures. That is how the Lord taught us. For this reason, practitioners during the time of the Lord Buddha had gained the Magga, Pala and Nibbana. And this was true in all the lands that the Sasana was propagated. When people who had heard the teaching of the Lord Buddha and those of the Savakas which came from the principle of truth. They all gained great conviction and belief in them. They became enlightened and understood the principle of reason and of cause and effect. There were many of them who attained to the Magga, Pala, and Nibbana. They were really earnest and serious in their beliefs. It is the heart that believes, and it is the heart that doesn't believe, and it is the heart that is serious and earnest, really committing itself to the way of virtue. And it is the heart that is not serious and earnest in the way of virtue, and at the same time is led into the way of wickedness. Therefore, the results of the fruits also appear very seriously and profoundly, like the result of dukkha, which can be very severe for the person who experiences it. At least he will experience this in his heart, and he can manifest or show this through his behavior of speech and action. Happiness also manifests itself for one to experience very clearly inside his heart, and it also manifests itself for others to see through the appearance of cool-heartedness, calm and peacefulness. We are the practitioners, so we must give our whole effort and attention to the undertaking that we are doing. We must not be weak, flabby, or feeble-minded in the work that we have to do, for we are now entering the battlefield. And what are we contending with? It is with our enemy. Who are our enemies, and where are they to be found? They are the various kinds of kilesas that are found within our hearts. For this reason, we have to develop sati, panya, satta, and virya. We must bring them to full maturity. We must steadily and gradually build up the Dhamma, so that we can overcome our opposition inside our hearts, gradually eliminating them until we have totally got rid of them and become free. The Lord Buddha said, Atta hawe kitang seyo. The one who can conquer himself is the most supreme one, the noble one. To conquer oneself, this is the conquering of the kilesas inside the heart. Where else are we going to come to victory, if not inside our heart? Because this is where our enemies and opposition are found. And at this place is where we lose or win. But we are not going to lose. We are going to concentrate all of our efforts into the battle. Whether we lose our lives or not doesn't matter. We are going to struggle until we attain to victory inside our heart. The place to learn about the Vatthajaka is inside the Citta. This is the studying of the going round or revolving of the citta through the various forms of birth and existence. This is where we learn whether the citta takes birth or dies, or becomes totally annihilated. The numbers of forms of existence that sentient beings can take up are immeasurable. They are beyond counting. This is the truth. Be it any form of existence, it is the citta that takes them up due to the influence of avijja. And the gamma vipaga, the result of one's actions, either good or bad, that are embedded in the citta, and follow it. Every sentient being cannot take up the birth of their choice. Not a single worldling can choose the form of birth that they would like to take, for they must all fall under the law of karma, having avijja as the basic constituent, or the source for one to take up more birth, and having gamma vipaga as the fruit which one has to experience. This is to say that one has to take up birth due to the results of one's past actions that caused birth, and then one has to experience or undergo the results of those past actions. Whether one will experience happiness or dukkha all depends on the good and bad that one has done in the past. It depends on one's good and bad karma. No one has the power to control everything, so that one can choose the form of birth that one can take up. What is the difference between being imprisoned by the law of karma and being locked up like a prisoner in a jail? There is really no difference. We have to bring this in as a comparison so that we can get to see the truth and the harm and the virtue of these things, so that we can be encouraged and totally commit our effort in our exertions. Birth and death are within the citta, and it is here that we have to study or learn. We have to practice right at this place, and it is in no other place where we will learn the result, but right here at this place. For this is the principal cause. It is the principal cause of the ceaseless birth and death. Even if one cannot remember them, but the testimony that attests to this fact is found right within the citta, which one will be able to understand or perceive through the method of citta bhavana. The more we practice, and the more we take up the learning, the more the citta will begin to become subtle, and the more we will get to see it clearly. The cause which leads one to take up birth, whether in a higher or lower realm, is found right within the citta. How subtle or sublime is the form of birth that one will take up is clearly evident within the citta. The Lord Buddha taught about the birth and death of all sentient beings within the realm of the vata samsara, after he himself had learned and attained to the truth within his heart. For this reason, the Dhamma is the Savakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo, the Dhamma that has been well taught in accordance with the Dhamma. There isn't a single or slight deviation from the true Dhamma, for the Lord taught based on the principle of truth. All of us are those who take up birth, disease, aging, and death. Why don't we know about ourselves? For there are maligning influences within our heart that totally block and obscure the truth. That is why we have to reveal them and open them up through the means of citta bhavana. We have to apprehend the chief culprit that lead us to be born and to die again and again. And it is found right within the citta. This is avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Avijja is the principal source that leads one to take up birth in the various forms of existence. And our Gamma Vipaga is also found within the three realms of Vata, the realms of revolving birth and death. The Lord said that it is the kilesas that lead one to perform Gamma, both good and bad. And once one has performed this good and bad Gamma, then the result must arise. And when we say the kilesas, if we don't mean avijja, which is the chief of all the kilesas, what do we mean? It is the one that leads sentient beings to commit Gamma, and to coerce and force sentient beings to make Gamma. Once one has done this Gamma, then Vipaga, the results of this Gamma, must appear. And this continues on in a cycle. And this is what the Lord called the cycle of Vata, going round and round. This is similar to an ant that goes round the edge of a basket. It just keeps going round and round. And with us, we are going around the edge of the Vata Chakra, and it is of a similar nature. We can never know how many forms of birth we have gone through. And if we don't learn until we fathom into the principle of truth, which we can get to know about, then regardless of what we do, we will never get to know the truth. Even if we study the whole of the Tripitaka, we will be merely carrying a lot of doubts with us, and we will never be able to come across the truth and insight if we don't practice and train ourselves. The Lord Buddha and the Savakas attained to enlightenment through practicing and developing themselves, and not through merely studying and committing the text to memory. The truth and what one can commit to memory are two different worlds. They are just not of the same world. Our memories always fool us. For instance, if we begin to talk about a particular place, like a country, England, for instance, for those who have never been there, no matter how many of them there might be, they will all begin to draw up imagination about such a place. And this is what presumption and assumption and conjecture is. But when one has gone to see England, then all the imagination and conjecture that one has drawn up will all dissolve, and it will be replaced with the truth that we have seen with our own eyes. And this is what is meant by the truth. So wherever the truth gets into, there all the fake things will have to fade away. Like our imagination, this is fake. What we have studied is also fake. It is not yet the truth. And when we subsequently come across the truth in our practice, then the fake things will all have to steadily dissolve away. And what is left standing distinctively inside the citta is just the truth. And this is the way of learning about the citta. There are no bounds or limits to the extent to which the citta gets involved with things, for it is all over the world. At least the oceans and rivers have bounds and limits. They have shores and banks. But as far as the affair of the citta are concerned. There are no bounds or limits. It can go throughout the universe, throughout the whole of samsara. Therefore, we have to rein it in with the means of sila, samadhi, panya, satta, and virya, so that we can get to the truth, the real essence of the citta, and find out exactly what the citta is. We have to get rid of all the kilesas, tanha and asava, that have been accumulating and piling over the heart. They are the things that lead us to be born and to die. And so, we have to correct them with our diligent effort. Then the citta will become more apparent, and the knowingness will become brighter and brighter, and become capable of knowing the causes of one's wandering around. One will get to see how much more of the source of birth and existences is still left within the citta. This source of birth refers to the thing that will still lead one to take up birth. It is still within the citta, though it might not be the one that leads us to take up birth in the lower realms of animals, and so forth. Still, at least, one knows within one's heart that one is still going to take up birth. Even if one takes up the higher form of birth, this is still taking birth. One will get to know this, because this source gets more subtle and more subtle as one progresses along, until one finally cuts it off and eliminates it out of the heart, without having anything remaining inside. It will be totally cut off from the citta, and the citta will no longer have any association with anything. It remains naturally in a singular state by itself. Furthermore, the rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnana, which the citta takes responsibility for, also do not come into any involvement with the citta. They can no longer enter the citta to affect and disturb it. The citta is just the citta. That is, the one who knows is just the one who knows. The khandhas are just the khandhas. The body, vedana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnana are just as they are, in their natural state, following their conventional state of samuti. One cuts these things off from the citta. That is, one cuts off the body, vedana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnana, and other contacting objects, be they physical things or any other kind of aramana. One investigates them with panya, and one then cuts them off and cuts them off, and steadily lets go of them. One also begins to cut off one's khandhas, that is, the aggregate of the elements, the body. This is merely a composition of the elements of earth, water, air, and fire elements. How can we have any attachment, affection, or aversion for it? It is merely element. Once we get to this state, and we can get to see it very clearly, then we will let go of it. Concerning vedana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnana, they are merely conditions that arise out of the citta. but they are not the citta. They are merely conditions. For this reason, we can restrain them, and we can detach ourselves from them, without having to have any attachment for them, by depending on the ability of our panya. The way to cut off birth and existence is to cut off the jitas, involvement and longing, with our sharp and keen faculty of sati and panya, until we have totally cut off and destroyed avijja in our heart, and until everything has been totally eliminated. Then with that jitta, what is there to take up birth? For the seed, or the source, which is avijja, has now been eliminated. If it is compared to rice, once it has been cooked and boiled until it is totally done, then it cannot grow anymore. This rice is only good for eating. It is not conducive to or available for growing anymore. It is the same with this jitta. It is now only suitable for experiencing the bliss of deliverance, the vimutti sukha, the state of purity. It is no longer suitable for taking up any more birth. One knows this within one's heart. In the Aditta Pariyaya Sutta and the Anattalakkhana Sutta and the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, it is quoted that from this moment onward, there is no more birth for me, for this is my last birth. This is what the Lord proclaimed in his discourses, which he gave to the Savaka Sangha, or to those who attained and realized the truth, as he expressed it in the Not-Self Discourse. Vusitang Brahmacharyam, the work of totally eradicating the kilesas, has now come to an end. This is the greatest undertaking. This is the undertaking that needs the whole of one's effort, one's sati, one's panya, and one's life into this work. And now this work has come to an end, to fulfillment. That is, one has now destroyed all of the kilesas. This is Vusitang Brahmacharyam. Then Katang Karaniyam, the work that has to be done, which is the work of letting go of things. One has now totally let go of all of them. And the work of development and cultivation has been fulfilled totally. Na parang itatayati. There is no further work to be done. Pachanati. One has now truly realized the truth. Then it is vimuttasaming vimuttamiti yanang hoti. As soon as one has attained to deliverance, the knowledge and realization that one has attained to that state will also appear simultaneously. Such is the work or undertaking of the bhikkhu. This was how the practitioners at the time of the Lord Buddha accomplished their task. Their work was the work of bhavana and the investigation of the gamatana. They consisted of the first five parts of the body: gesa, loma, nakha, danta, tajo, and gradually on up to all of the other parts. These are the objects of the work that we have to do. So how are we supposed to do it? In the beginning, we should do the practice of Parigama Bhavana, be it on any particular Dhamma object. Then we must investigate into the nature of this object and see what it is like. For instance, what are Gesa, Loma, Nakha, Danta, and Tacho really like? And the place where they arise and exist. Is it in a clean or a filthy place? Are they themselves clean or filthy? We have to keep on probing and looking into it, especially that jaw, which is the skin that wraps up the bones. We cannot see the bones. All we can see is just the skin. And we are obsessed in the delusion of the skin. We have to look and pierce through the skin so that we can see both the outer skin and the inside of the skin. And we have to go further to find out what it is inside that is being wrapped up in it. We have to see it in accordance with the truth. And this is the way of doing our work. This is the work of investigation. And in the beginning, it is the work of Parigama. This is like constantly chopping on a piece of meat. Like when one repeats Butto, 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 or Gesa, 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 or Nakha, 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 or Danta, 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 or Tacho, Tacho, Tacho. This is the way of rounding up and consolidating the strength of the citta into one single spot. Things that are not consolidated do not have power or strength. It is like grass. When it is tied together into a bunch, it is difficult to pull apart and to break. And if one wants to cut it up, one has to chop and chop many times. But with a single blade of grass, one can easily break it apart. It is the same way with the power of the citta. When it is dispersed and scattered, it cannot have any strength. One has to consolidate and unite it with the means of Parigama Bhavana. When the citta has acquired strength and power, then one will be calm and cool-hearted. One will then have to investigate in the way of Panya. When the citta has gained strength, this is when the citta is full and contented with that state of calm. Then one can put it to work in the way of investigation, the way of vipassana, for true knowledge and insight. From Gesa, Loma, Nakha, Danta, and Tacho, it will begin to spread through the rest of the 32 parts of the body. It will go all over these parts thoroughly, and then it will also penetrate the nature of other people's bodies and this whole world and see that we are all the same. And this is the work of the bhikkhu. This is how the Lord taught us to do it. This is the work of Panya. The work of differentiating and analysis. Then one's investigation now has to be more subtle. When one investigates Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara, and Vijnana, for they are of a much more subtle nature. But when one's Sati and Panya has become subtle, keen, and penetrative. Then one will be able to catch up with these things. One will steadily progress until one will be capable of letting go of them, and also of letting go inside the citta itself. When one has let go of inside the citta, then there will be nothing else to let go of. One has been pursuing and destroying the kilesas until they all converge inside the citta. And once one has killed and destroyed the kilesas inside the citta, then there is nothing else to do. All the kilesas will by then have been totally eliminated. But when one is still destroying and subduing the kilesas through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body, then one must also destroy the kilesas inside the heart. When one has destroyed the kilesas that are attached to the body, vetana, sanya, sankhara, and vijnana, one hasn't yet destroyed all the kilesas. One still has to destroy the kilesa that is embedded inside the citta. For this is the main culprit, before one can totally get rid of all the kilesas. When one has arrived at this stage, the Lord said, "This is Vusitang Brahmacharyam, the end of one's work. And this is the work of the bhikkhu. Please listen and take it deeply into your hearts. Don't be sidetracked and led astray to do the work that is not the work of the bhikkhu, because one will not be able to get rid of the kilesas that way. The only way to do it is the way of citta bhavana, the way that I have described to you. There is no other work that is more supreme than the work of citta bhavana. Though it might be the most difficult, it is of the highest and loftiest quality. Please set up your determination and concentrate in your investigation. Don't relent. Wherever you go, insofar as staying with a teacher is concerned, this is not something certain or definite, because we are living in the world of anicca, or impermanence. There is no stability in this world of anicca, because either today or tomorrow, there will always be departure or separation from one another. So the lesson which we have learned from our teacher, and which is deeply embedded inside our heart, is one which we must not allow to slip from our grasp. We must not deviate from what we have learned. Wherever we go, we must always stick to the principle of the Dhamma and Vinaya. We must be earnest and not lackadaisical or irresolute, lacking in principle or standards. One must be real, and one must be true. No matter how difficult or how hard any work might be, one is always ready to shoulder that work. We are now putting in all our earnestness and our satta, our belief in dukkha, and in the enlightenment of the Lord Buddha, and in our ability so that we can attain to Dhamma and be free from dukkha by the means of our own diligent effort. When we have consolidated all of these things together, then we become strengthened and powerful. Then satta, virya, and kanti will naturally come together. And it is the same way with samadhi and panya. They will steadily grow because they cannot do otherwise. Don't ever forget this work, and then you will get to see it yourself. We have only heard the story of the attainment to arahantship by the various practitioners during the time of the Lord Buddha. And no matter how much we might remember and commit these stories into memory, they themselves are not capable of doing anything to the kilesas. The kilesas are not affected by what we can remember, but they are when we practice. Pariyati is study. For instance, the study of gesa, loma, nakha, danta, and tacho. This is called studying. This is what our upachaya gave us. So now we must take them up and practice them. And this is called patipatti. We investigate these things. Then it becomes pativeta, the true realization and insight. That is the consequence of our practice. It cannot be otherwise. There is nothing that can have any power to prevent the heart that has trod following the way of Dhamma from attaining to the Magga, Phala, and Nibbana. The only thing that obstructs the Magga, Phala, and Nibbana are Dukkha and Samudaya. Neither the time nor the place has the power of obstruction. It is only the kilesas, dukkha, and samudaya that block up the way. For this reason, one has to develop sati, panya, satta, and virya, so that we can use them to clear away the kilesas that obstruct the magga, phala, and nibbana, so that these kilesas are totally eliminated. Then penetration and the attainment to the Magga, Phala, and Nibbana will not be anywhere else, but right within the heart. It is the citta that will attain to the truth, and it is the one that will let go of all things. And it is the one that will conquer the kilesas, tanha, and asava. It is the citta that will become supreme and exalted, transcending the world. The only thing to do is to accomplish one's task, and then the result will appear. End of Detsana.